Welcome back. You're listening to EcoTalk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and we're going to welcome Michelle Wyman. She is the executive director of a group called International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, or ICLEI, and they are putting on a three-day conference in Utah, Salt Lake City, and Sundance. It's all about what communities are doing and what cities can do to address climate disruption and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson is taking part, as is actor-activist Robert Redford, of course, since it's at Sundance. He's hosting, as well as some names you've heard, Bill Richardson, the governor of New Mexico, Al Gore has given an address, and Michelle's going to tell us what's behind this gathering and some highlights of this three-day event. Thanks for joining us, Michelle.
Thank you, Betsy.
Pretty exciting stuff happening.
Yes, it is. We've got a lot of good energy that we've captured during the last couple of days. We're on our third day, and I think those participants that have joined us are really excited about what they've learned and going back to their respective cities and rolling up their sleeves and doing some good work to advance climate protection.
Now, ICLEI has been working on this for about 15 years. Is this the kind of thing you were envisioning 5 years ago, or is this kind of snowballed since initiatives like Seattle Mayor Greg Nickels' attempt to get cities signed on to Kyoto-like regulations?
You know, I have to be honest with you, specifically in the domestic arena, there are local governments we have been working with through ICLEI Cities Climate Protection for Climate campaign for over 10 years now. And those cities have progressively been increasing their measurable and quantifiable reductions of greenhouse gases. So our event here at Sundance was really the inception of it, and the inspiration for it came from the COP10 meeting, the Council of the Parties, that was held last December in Buenos Aires. Mayor Rocky Anderson and I were there together. He was representing on our behalf local governments in the United States who are taking action on climate protection. And he and I were discouraged by the lack of twofold, by the lack of U.S. leadership present, and also by the lack of attention given to the work that is being done in the United States. In the international arena, we so frequently hear how the U.S. is not ratifying Kyoto and they're not taking any kind of leadership role at the national level. And I think it's a travesty, and it's not fully accurate. At the local level, there's been action afoot for many years here.
What kinds of actions can cities take? And in fact, is there a recognition that cities are, you know, affected, and we're all affected, but that, you know, there's some commonality in terms of some of the problems that are going to be brought on by climate disruption?
Yes. I think first, as far as the list of actions, you can go as to a limited extent and to a very deep extent. The cities that we work with, we work through the Cities for Climate Protection campaign. It's a 5-milestone process that allows them to really dictate the extent to which they want to affect their operational and policies that drive the city's functions and services. So we have cities that set targets to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions by 1990 levels at 7%, and we have cities that set it at 20%, all with the same target year of 2012 or 2015. It's fully their prerogative to design their roadmap on effectively combating global warming through the toolkit that we offer. And I think that the actions that cities are taking at the local level is driven by the imperative that increasingly as cities experience at minimum an increasing frequency of weather-related events that are impacting their infrastructure, public health, and their communities at large, we're going to see more action taking place and more cities getting into the arena of figuring out what they're going to do with the fact that global warming is taking place.
About how many cities would you say are taking part in this effort, meaning taking, you know, proactive steps to reduce greenhouse gas emissions? And then I understand you handpicked about 45 of
Correct.
Those cities to be represented at your conference, and I wonder what your criteria was.
Correct. Well, actually, that I know of, there are well over 200 local governments in the United States, more than 150 of which we work with directly, that are verifiably reducing their greenhouse gas emissions through operational modifications and policy changes. The cities that we selected to join us here at the summit are not a part of that 200 plus for the most part. About a third of them are. The other two-thirds, we really did some strong evaluation and took into consideration different criteria like demographic location, hot spots, and also, their economic impacts that they're experiencing as a result of global warming impacts, and again, right now, the brunt of that we're seeing through drought, drastic floods, increasing tornadoes, increasing hurricanes, et cetera.
How important is it for these representatives to share information, not only about, obvious steps that are around energy efficiency, but also just education of citizens?
You know, I think it's absolutely crucial, and it's good that you raised the issue of education. I was talking with someone a couple days back, and he suggested that it was apathy by our citizens that is driving the level of inaction in this country. And I actually think that apathy would almost be a conscientious decision on the part of our citizens. And I believe that probably the greatest challenge we face right now regarding how we move forward with increasing climate protection efforts is around education. I'll tell you, in the last 10 years I've been in the field, this is the first year where I haven't had to explain what I do for a living any longer. People are starting to get it. It's making headlines all the time. It's being recognized as a statement of fact that it's happening. It's no longer a debate.
And it's not just happening up there in the Antarctica, the effects.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. It's really, we're starting, it's the dribble down effect is taking place. We're beginning to feel it. We can see that with the hurricane that just hit Florida.
Which one? We've had a bunch, in the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's well, and they've had four in the last month, more than they've ever had four named hurricanes. I can't remember the exact statistic, but in the last 10 years or something significant.
And it was last fall, winter season, they had four in a row.
Yeah. These aren't, this is not accidental.
Mm-hmm. And I think that the key, you talked about apathy, you could call it ignorance. We seem as a country to kind of go from, see no evil, we don't want to see it, hear no evil. Certainly that's represented up at the top in Washington. But then we kind of quickly go to, oh, well, gloom and doom. It's too late. What am I going to do? I'm only one person.
Right.
Let's go out and party, And we, it seems we have to catch that very big space in between ignorance and paralysis to motivate the masses and show that it is relevant to you, that this is going to affect you, your children, your grandchildren, not to mention unborn generations, in so many really critical, intricate ways.
It's you capture it perfectly. Last night when Mr. Gore, Vice President Gore, addressed all of us, he said, there is room in between complete denial and total despair.
Mm-hmm.
And there is that middle ground, and that's where I am so optimistic. And if I could share with you in some visual way, which we can't, the amount of energy that we've been able to harness in the room around the corner with the 46 mayors that are there, I think really speaks to the fact that people, this is resonating and is an issue. It's resonating with the population. They're looking to their local leaders to guide them and inspire them on moving forward on climate protection.
And it's not just cities, and it's corporations.
Absolutely.
Suddenly are speaking out and saying, we don't care if the president doesn't want us speaking out. We realize this is going to affect our bottom line. The insurance industry gets it. And so I guess at some point the dinosaur just has to get out of the way, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, again, case in point, we've had some fabulous businesses. PNM Energy Company from the state of New Mexico came and spoke to our folks, and they've been doing this good work for a long time. This is not new business for them. So there's enough credibility out there to speak to why this is good for the economy and the bottom line to engage those that haven't yet felt compelled. Also, states are taking a leadership role. Governor Richardson addressed us. He released a statement setting a target for emissions reductions about 3 months ago and has most recently been joined by the state of California and Governor Schwarzenegger. The northeastern states have been leading the path for several years now. It's really a good time right now for the earth related to global warming.
I guess in a strange way, President Bush has been a uniter on that, because it's become painfully clear to anyone who's paying attention that our supposed leadership is not taking us down the primrose path.
Right, I agree with that. Yeah.
And what size cities are you dealing with? And if someone in our listening audience is hearing this and they live in a smaller city or even a town, how can they get involved?
Well, I tell you, I think it's important to emphasize that individuals can make a difference, particularly in their communities. Through ICLEI, and the website is the acronym, ICLEI.org, you can find out information about how to approach your mayor and your city council. Participating in our program is little to no cost. The benefits that are derived from participating Well, let me share with you. Last year, of 156 local governments participating in ICLEI's U.S. Cities for Climate Protection campaign, just here domestically, those 156 cities reduced by 23 million tons carbon dioxide for a cost savings of more than $650 million.
So there really seems to be a tipping point happening.
Yes, absolutely.
I want to give out our website, too, www.ecotalk.net, for information about today's guests and our topics. And we are speaking with Michelle Wyman. She is the executive director of a group called ICLEI, which I've heard about but is really rising in terms of profile now, International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, because they've been working for more than a decade, as she said, on what cities, what communities can do to combat climate disruption. So, Michelle, in the last 20 seconds, where do you go from here?
I think onward and upward, outward. Again, I'd encourage anyone who wants to get involved, give us a ring or give you a ring, and we can work together on that. The more folks involved, the more quickly we can effectively address the issue.
Well
said. Thank you, Betsy.
Good work. Thank you, Michelle. You're listening to EcoTalk on Air America.